The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a jar of peanut butter, and he's not afraid to use it. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I just happen to be Eric Metaxas, and the show just happens to be named the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a coincidence. Perhaps it's a miracle. I really can't account for it. Nonetheless, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas. Now, as you know, I love to get all kinds of guests on the program. I like to talk about everything. That's why we call it the show about everything. Anything that I think I'm interested in or would be interested in, I hope you would be interested in. As you know, we've had many musical guests on the program. And as you also know, I've for years wanted to get John Denver on the program. Unfortunately, he passed away a number of years ago, tragically, so we can't get him on the program. But I thought maybe I can get a John Denver lookalike. And Albin's been working on it. And here he is, Mark Shaw, as close as we can get to John Denver. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. I can tell you, when I lived in Aspen, I had a great time because people would come up and believe I was John Denver. And John, can you sign your autograph? And I would say yes. And I would go ahead and sign Mark Shaw. And I'm sure they went back to their small town in Des Moines and said, I got John Denver's autograph, but he signed it as somebody named Mark Shaw.
Well, the only reason, I'm an incorrigible goofball, so I have to kind of start out in a goofy way. You and I have spoken on this program a number of times. We spoke last week about your new book called Fighting for Justice, which, and folks, this is very serious and extraordinary, frankly, but it's a book that talks about, it's called Fighting for Justice, The Improbable Journey to Exposing Cover-Ups About the JFK Assassination and the Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. We spoke about that. Since then, I've had the opportunity to read the book, and we should explain, Mark, that in this book, you, obviously, you're a journalist, you're an investigative reporter, you've written many books on the subject of the JFK assassination and Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen. In this book, you take the different tack, really, of telling your story so that people can understand how it is that you, of all people, would find yourself being able to figure out what innumerable people have been trying to figure out for, lo, these many decades. And in the course of telling your story, you, of course, tell about when you lived in the 70s in Denver. You were mistaken for another famous Denver resident at that time, none other than the famous John Dutchendorf, whom we know as John Denver.
Yeah, what I decided to do, I have so many people who've gotten in touch with me, and I'm sure they will after listening to your broadcast here. I'm a crowdsourcer, they call me, because when I've sent all my material out there into the world, I get all these tips from people who've watched the presentations on YouTube or the book, read the book or whatever. And so I've been asked, how did I do this? Because people who know me well realize I almost dropped out of Purdue. I couldn't pass a physics class, so I almost dropped out. It took me 6 years to get through. It took me a long time to get through law school. And then I've had this incredible, improbable journey to where I felt like that somehow or another I was supposed to investigate JFK's death and that of Marilyn and Dorothy. So it is an improbable journey. I hope it's an inspiring one. Well, because listen, I'm not the smartest guy.
You're
able to go after this material.
I since it's my show, I get to say that you're overly humble. It's nice when people are humble, but you pretend to be of medium intelligence. This is baloney. You maybe have had some challenges, but let me be clear. You have to be extremely intelligent to do the research and to be as dogged an investigator as you have been over the decades. And it comes across in the book. Now, for folks who haven't listened to our previous interview, we maybe just want to sum it up. Why don't you just sum up what you talk about in the book before we go further?
Well, this is the sixth book I've written that touch on the JFK assassination in Dorothy and Marilyn. And it's connecting the dots all the way along. And so I had done that. You know, the first big book was The Reporter Who Knew Too Much about Dorothy Kilgallen, the famous journalist that people should recognize from What's My Line. Millions of people now watch those reruns and everything. Celebrated journalist, most powerful female voice in America. I outlined who she was and everything, and then found out, of all things, she investigated the JFK assassination. So that's all in the book, what she did. And she interviewed Jack Ruby, and she got the Ruby Warren Commission testimony and all of that. Then in Denial of Justice, I gave the reader all of the Ruby trial transcripts that had never been, exposed before. In Collateral Damage, the next one, and I wasn't even going to write that book, I connected the deaths of Marilyn in 62, JFK in 63, and Dorothy in 65. And I was done. That was it. That's enough, Mark. You've written enough books. But I had new information that came to me, some information about JFK having been a bigamist, because when he married Jackie, he was already married. Some about the Kennedy neurosis and how they became sexual predators. I had all this. It wasn't enough for a book. And then I got this phone call in February from a man that we mentioned the last time we talked, this man named Morris Wolfe. And of all things, he watched a presentation of mine at a library near Dallas, and he heard the name Dorothy Kilgallen. And one day I pick up the phone and he says, "Well, Mr. Shaw, I just got a shiver saying this." He said, "Mr. Shaw, I knew Dorothy." Well, that perks up my ears, because it's many, many years since she died in 65. There aren't that many people that know her anymore. And that led to him spilling out all this information about the Warren Commission that is shocking.
Shocking is putting it mildly. I don't know how else you can characterize it, but it is so scandalous, so dark. And I have to use this word. It is evil, ladies and gentlemen. When you live in a free country, ostensibly free, patriots have died that we could be free. And when you see the cover-up, the lying, the elites of that time — we're seeing plenty of it today — but the elites of that time deciding, "We know better, and you little people can just shut up and take what we give you," it is wicked. It is absolutely evil. And Mark, you do a masterful job in the book of talking about it. It's in some ways hard to read. It's dark. It's painful to read about the corruption and the evil. And it goes so far. I have to say that it was really chilling to me when you consider how, the heart of darkness. When, I mean, let's just talk about one of the figures. He's on the cover of your book, J. Edgar Hoover. You have to think, in a free country, when we think of the patriots who founded this country, they did not envision somebody, a power monger like J. Edgar Hoover, taking it upon himself to create this vast bureaucracy beholden to no one, with the power to do things that no one should have in a free society. He figures prominently, of course, in your book, Fighting for Justice.
Well, he does, and I learned about him first when I found out his obsession with Dorothy Kilgallen. He was actually spying on her in the 50s. He had decided that she could be a real threat because this woman was so powerful herself. And there's many instances of why he was scared of Dorothy Kilgallen. And frankly, as people read in the book, I believe he's the one who orchestrated her death. He felt like, anybody that confronted Hoover with anything close to the truth was in danger. And in the 50s, he found out that, she had this science club at P.J. Clark's in New York City. He put an informant in there to find out what they were talking about, which really ended up being nothing. But he was so paranoid, about those kinds of things. So he has weaved through the whole book and all the way through the many events that took place. That the reason you're disturbed about this, Eric, and I'm going to praise you, is you're a man of the truth, and we expected the truth from these seven men on the Warren Commission. And right away, I wanted to go ahead if we can. I just want to go down a few of these.
Actually, you know what? Before we do that, this is just the first segment, folks. We've got plenty more coming up with Mark Shaw. We'll be right back to continue this. Fighting for Justice is the new book. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Folks, I apologize. I thought I was talking to John Denver. Happens that I'm talking to Mark Shaw. If you're watching this on Rumble, you can see why I would make that mistake. Mark Shaw, you've written yet another book on the JFK assassination, on the deaths of Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen. It's called Fighting for Justice. You were just about to leap into making a point, so please go ahead, sir.
Well, the book's released today. I'm very proud of it. I wasn't going to write it. But I'll tell you, one of the first things I found were audio tape conversations between LBJ, the new president, and J. Edgar Hoover on two particular dates in 1963 and 4. And these guys, you talk about dark and diabolical. These two men were planning, no question about it, to deceive the American people and the world about what really happened to JFK. Here's just a few, you know, two or three of the conversation points. LBJ, yes, his secretary. J. Edgar Hoover on extension 2192. LBJ, are you familiar with this proposed group that they are trying to put together on this study of your report? And Hoover's report is Oswald alone and other things. Two from the House, two from the Senate, somebody from the court, a couple of outsiders. Hoover, no, I haven't heard that. I've seen the reports on the Senate investigating committee they're talking about. Well, LBJ says, we think if we don't have to, I want to get by just filing your report. J. Edgar Hoover, I think it would be very, very bad to have a rash of investigation. Well, the only way, LBJ says, we can stop them is probably appoint a high-level one to evaluate report and put someone pretty good on it, and we can select who it is. J. Edgar Hoover, yes, because if we get a bunch of television going, that would be bad. J. Edgar Hoover, it's a three-ring circus. It would be a three-ring circus. So right away, see, they're controlling what's going to be happening. And then they go through all of these individuals, as people can read, who they think might be on the commission. and they cross this one out because, well, he might want some publicity.
Look, this is clear. They stack the deck. And again, I want to underscore this for the audience here. Folks, this is evil. In the United States of America, you have a president is assassinated. Normally in a free society, journalists, investigators have go to it to figure out everything. And we have every right to know these kinds of things. And at the beginning, at the very beginning, within days of this, LBJ and J. Edgar Hoover decide, no, we're going to create an official-looking commission. We are going to squash any alternative theories. Now, the question, of course, Mark Shaw, is why? I saw a documentary some years ago that implicated LBJ in being behind the JFK assassination. Is there anything to that in your mind?
Well, it's interesting. I find these documents, and I feel like they just come to me for whatever reason. But each one of these men, Hoover, LBJ, the Kennedys, who blocked the investigation of anything having to do with them, and that's in the book as well. LBJ was concerned about, people looking into his past and the oil companies deals and all that kind of stuff. He was a sleazy guy.
Well, look, no, I want to be clear, folks. Okay. These are corrupt to the bottom. These are wicked people, okay? We name airports after them, but they were as dirty as it gets, as powerful as it gets, and they use their power in evil ways, and it's amazing that only now is much of this coming to light. There's been a lot of talk about this, but before we get into how horrible LBJ was, because he was horrible, do you discount the idea that he knew that this assassination was being planned? Because, of course, he is a Texas man. This happened in Texas. Any a question in your mind whether he knew what was being planned?
Well, I found an independent evaluation of that, and of all places in a KGB document, which basically said that the Russians were certain that LBJ was involved in JFK's assassination. They were certain of it. And there are other documents out there, but that one stuck out to me because it had never been seen before. And I don't think there was any reason why, I'm sure there could be reasons why they would make up something like that, but I thought that was very interesting. He didn't really like the Kennedys. He never liked the Kennedys, especially Bobby, and he didn't like LBJ. You know, one person that he put on the commission was Alan Dulles, the CIA director, whom JFK had fired, So, again, he's trying to do anything that he can to stop an investigation of how he could be involved.
Okay, so
and then Hoover has his reasons, too.
Okay, so we don't know whether LBJ was involved. It's unfortunately very plausible. But part of what I want to get at, since I've read the book now, is that the Kennedys were deeply involved with organized crime, with the mafia. We have to be clear about that, folks, how filthy this is. That Joe Kennedy, who was a bootlegger and who was involved with criminals and his rise to the top, he had all kinds of connections. And as you make clear in the book, Mark Shaw, and as many have made clear, he made a deal with the mob that in order for JFK to win the presidency, he needs Illinois, he needs West Virginia. You can get it done through criminal activity. That's exactly what happened.
It is. And then, of course, Joe being Joe and this powerful man who wanted to be president himself but couldn't. So he made at one point, Eric, he really thought there would be, 24 years of Kennedys in the White House. OK, believe it. 24. JFK, Bobby, Ted. That's how screwed up this guy was. He thought he could do that. So what does he do? He gets help from the mafia guys to win those states and win the election, telling them, we'll leave you alone. We'll leave you alone.
But, I want to be clear. He did that. This is one of these things I don't want to gloss over too quickly. The fact that Joe Kennedy, the patriarch of this clan, who was a horrific womanizer, just absolutely dark, horrible people, but he pulled strings criminally, we know, to get his son elected to the presidency. And Nixon because he was too much of a statesman, decided to say nothing about it effectively. I mean, he deserves to be in Profiles in Courage for that, although the book was written before this season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and with Joe, you then can figure out exactly why. He doesn't want any investigation of him by the Warren Commission. He doesn't want any investigation of Bobby and his involvement with Marilyn Monroe, anything like that. So he's got his reasons. Hoover's got his reasons. They all come together and they decide, we've got to just put a stop on this, and we're going to go ahead and have a commission. It'll look good. We'll put these guys on there and everything. The real consequence to all of this is, and you may remember when we spoke the last time, this senator that we're talking about, one of the main things that he said was that the commission knew about the connection between Jack Ruby and organized crime, and they did nothing about it. Well, all they had to do was realize that you can go connecting Jack Ruby to organized crime to Marcello, who is the one that Bobby Kennedy and Joe Kennedy double-crossed, and then I've proven that Marcello is the one that orchestrated JFK's death. All the connections are there, but they don't want any of those connections to come up in the Warren Commission report, that's for sure.
Well, they squashed it. And again, this is what's so fascinating to me about this is just how nefarious it is that in the United States of America, I mean, we talk about how far we've drifted from the founding, but this was already going on big time, in the early 60s and before. The corruption and the power that you have among some of these elites, the high-handedness that they could get away with this, they could participate in murder, and to say that JFK and his brother were adulterers is an extremely mild term for whatever it was. They were sexual predators. So it's very, very dark. I just want to be clear. And when you look at it, I mean, you mentioned this in the last program, but the key to the whole thing, of course, is that Dorothy Kilgallen was friends with one of the men appointed to the Warren Commission. And because he felt guilty, and he should have felt guilty because it was despicable that he signed his name to this, he thought, let me give her some of this information. She'll do with it what I didn't have the guts to do. And she was in the process of doing that, which is why you allege, and I agree, that she was murdered.
Yeah. And you can see him. This is Senator John Sherman Cooper in the book. You can see in the right hand side is this whistleblower. Morris Wolf told me, a credible witness who worked for Bobby Kennedy at the attorney general's office and was the legislative assistant to this man, John Sherman Cooper. He's hiding. He's hiding behind Hale Boggs, the representative here, because he was so ashamed. And really what this all deals with, Dorothy is weaved through all of this. And what happens is I always thought that it was because she had the Warren Commission Ruby testimony and she published it and Hoover was upset. But I believed, and it's reasonable to believe, that Cooper shared with her that there was corruption on the Warren Commission. So now here's Dorothy as 1965 ends. She's writing this book for Random House with all of this in there.
Those manuscripts disappeared. Actually, folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to a break. The book by Mark Shaw, Fighting for Justice.
Your prison is walking through this world all alone.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. As hard as it may be for us to comprehend here in America, there are people in other parts of the world whose very lives are being threatened simply for believing in Jesus. In fact, people are being enslaved for their faith. Some have been in bondage for 25 or 30 years. If you've been listening for any period of time, you know I'm and passionate about the work of Christian Solidarity International, a ministry that sets these captives free. There are hundreds of thousands persecuted and enslaved in the Middle East. Together, we can literally buy their freedom and save the lives of some precious brothers and sisters this Christmas, giving them the joy and hope that we celebrate freely. For only $250, you can provide life-saving aid this Christmas. You can buy a believer's freedom and provide them with much-needed food, a goat, and other goods necessary for their very survival. These are brothers and sisters who are enslaved and fearing for their lives. Just $250. Maybe you can give more, maybe a portion. Every gift helps. Imagine buying a fellow believer's freedom. Call 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Christian Solidarity, providing life-saving resources for persecuted Christians for almost 40 years. 888-253-3522 or metaxastalk.com and click on the Christian Solidarity banner. Give someone the gift of their freedom for Christmas. Thank you.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock.
Talking to Mark Shaw, brand new book, Fighting for Justice. Mark, you just referred to the fact, just so my audience is tracking, if they missed our previous interview, that that this member of the Warren Commission, because he was eaten up with guilt, as he should have been, because he was a bum, a coward, he signed his name to this, and then, knowing the whole thing is a fraud and a cover-up, gives information to Dorothy Kilgallen, which she then uses in the next year and a half as the basis of a book to open up everything on what really happened with regard to JFK's assassination. She is murdered. And, you know, you talk about implausible. If you know the story of who Dorothy Kilgallen is, the idea that she was murdered or that she died young, the mother of three, you know something's going on. My first question is, why did this senator, do you think, go along with this? All he had to do is have a little courage and say something, and he didn't have the guts. It's a shameful thing. Why do you suppose... was it Wolf?
Yeah, Morris Wolf.
Wolf. Why do you suppose he did nothing when he could have done something?
Well, I think that you can see a stream of information about Senator Cooper, who was one of JFK's closest friends. And that's where Morris Wolf met Dorothy Kilgallen, at these parties at Senator Cooper's home in Georgetown. And I've confirmed all of that. You can see a stream through there where he's having second thoughts, of course. He writes a letter of resignation, which he doesn't send because they aren't inviting him to the hearings. They're not telling him when the hearings are, if you can imagine that. And then he starts to question things. And if you look at what Morris Wolf said, he is continuing to have doubts about all of this. And then he decides, okay, I'm going to go along with it, Eric, because I'm going to get the dissent that Senator Richard Russell in Georgia want, that we both want, in the final report. It's going to say, we don't believe in the silver bullet theory, we don't believe in the Oswald alone theory, and we've been guaranteed by none other than Chief Justice Warren that that will be in the final report. The reason he's hiding in this photograph is because they never put that in there. And you imagine how history would have changed if that would have been in the report? Things would still have been open. Marcello and his people got away with murder, basically, of the President of the United States because they covered all this up. And that's I think, why Cooper kept quiet. You know, they had a code of silence. LBJ and Hoover made them basically sign the fact. I don't know if it was an actual document. They would never talk about this. And if you look at the media coverage of the Warren Commission, they never did. For those years, they never said anything.
It's again, folks, this is corruption. This is evil. But he does give documents to Dorothy Kilgallen. Now, of course, when she is murdered, people come into her townhouse and take away all of her files. So we don't know if these things still exist, but all the information she had for this book that she was going to publish with Random House disappears.
It proves that she had it right. It proves she had it right because they killed her. They had to. They had to silence her. They couldn't let that book be published. They couldn't let her go out there and shout.
And these were FBI agents who exactly. Took this stuff away, directed by J. Edgar Hoover. So, folks, you think the FBI is doing evil things today? You think they're behaving like the Gestapo? This is 1965.
Yes, it is.
This is horrible.
Yes, it is.
This is dark stuff.
It is, and it's shocking. I think I wrote yesterday, even by today's standard, we expose the most alarming governmental corruption in U.S. history. Alarming. And I'm having people now get in touch with me who've, when the book came out today, already getting in touch with me, and they can't believe it. They just can't believe that this happened, because we were all led to believe the Warren Commission. We could trust these seven so-called respected people, including the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Well, to be fair, Mark, for years there have been theories and books being written. I mean, you know that, of course. It's just that it never seemed to amount to anything. In other words, I've heard many, many times it was the mafia. It was that, you know, you hear this over and over and you go, what? What do you mean? Where are you getting this from? So, you know, kind of people move on, but mm-hmm. you revisit this and you connect things that were not previously connected. Johnny Russo, who has been on this program, he said, you got it right, and you're the only one who got all of this stuff right. I think specifically with regard to the mafia, Johnny Russo, of course, was very involved with the mafia, with Frank Costello. He knew and was there when a lot of these horrible decisions were made. So how, just to give to get some clarity, how was JFK killed? There was somebody under a manhole cover comes up. What, you know, who were the shooters? How many shots?
Well, I was on a panel the other day and I had to walk out, because so many people out there, God bless them, have all these crazy theories about what happened. But Dorothy Kilgallen had it right. Just think about motive. When I was a criminal defense lawyer, motive. Look at motive. Papa Kennedy, you know, brings in the mafia to win the election. We'll leave you alone. Bobby Kennedy becomes attorney general. What's the first thing he does? He deports Carlos Marcelo to Guatemala. He gets back in the country. What's he thinking? I got to get rid of Bobby Kennedy. He's going to keep hounding me. So he's smart enough to say, well, if I kill Bobby Kennedy, JFK will come after me with everything the government has. But if I kill JFK, Bobby will be powerless. And that's exactly what happened. And if you then want to go ahead, common sense wise, and connect Marcelo into the death of JFK using these soldiers that he had, all you have to do is think about who's the first person that visited Jack Ruby in his jail cell.
We're going to be right back.
Campisi.
We're going to be right back to talk about that and other stuff. The book Fighting for Justice by Mark Shaw.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Hey, folks, you've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code ERIC. Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com.
Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code Eric. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly. So order now with promo code Eric at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Promo code Eric. Folks, welcome back. Talking to Mark Shaw, brand new book, Fighting for Justice. So you're saying...
Let me take that thread ahead, if I can.
Yeah, please keep going.
First person who visits Ruby in his jail cell, and the commission should have known this, is a guy named Campisi, who works for Carlos Marcello.
Okay, hang on. So this is big. Jack Ruby is in jail because he sneaks into the police headquarters, murders Oswald... He's taken to jail. The first person to visit him is Campisi, who is a mob guy.
Yeah. Campisi and Sevilla were Marcello's guys in Dallas. His empire stretches to that. And so common sense-wise, they're telling Ruby, hey, guess what we're going to do? We're going to get you a great attorney. And who is that attorney? Melvin Belli in San Francisco that I practiced law with in the 1980s. They bring Belli in. He goes to Ruby and he said, well, here's going to be our defense. First of all, no, you can't testify. I know you want to, but you can't testify. And second, you were crazy when you did this. It's the psychomotor epilepsy defense. Well, what does the jury do? They convict him. He's the last loose end that has to be tied up after Oswald and Ruby are. Now, how many shots and who did all this and everything? Those are not things that I will ever be able to prove. But I can – anybody that – with a brain can see that there's a common sense thread from Joe Kennedy's double cross all the way through to the death of his son. And I'll tell you another way to prove that, if you don't mind. Go look at the photograph of Joe Kennedy when Ted Kennedy comes into the bedroom, you know, Joe had the stroke, and tells him JFK is dead. They bring him the New York Times, and he goes like this. I mean, he knew he caused the death of his son. By double crossing the mafia, you can't do that, and so Joe knew that, and no, that thread is common sense in my opinion.
Well, so then, but just to backtrack, so I'm clear. So Jack Ruby, okay, so Oswald is arrested. Jack Ruby uses his connections. He's on the phone with people. He wants to kill Oswald, according to your theory, and it seems perfectly correct because we have to silence Oswald. We have to stick to the lone gunman theory and whatever. So I'm going to I'll take the fall, so to speak, and I will go and I will do. So Ruby kills Oswald. He's in prison, visited by Campisi, who is one of the soldiers for Marcellus, who's the enemy of Marcello, who's the mafia enemy of the Kennedys. And he is told, you know, we'll get you off on this crazy defense, literally. He doesn't get off.
No, he doesn't. And, okay. And there's, I have an eyewitness who was there when Melvin Belli is having dinner in San Francisco, and a waiter comes up and says, Jack Ruby, a guy named Jack Ruby just shot Oswald. You know what Belli said? Well, now I guess I'll have to defend Ruby instead of Oswald. He was on call. He knew. I think Belli knew about the assassination.
So he was a mobbed up lawyer. Marvin Belli was a bum and a mobbed up lawyer.
Was Mickey Cohen. But you've heard of
him. Yes, and you write about him, too. These are such dark, dark figures, horrible, horrible people. It's just difficult to read about them. It's painful because it's so dark. But let me ask you, Ruby, so he goes to jail. What year does he die? Under what circumstances does he die?
Well, supposedly, you know, I'm not sure exactly the date. Let's see, we're at 63.
I thought it was 67 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, 67 or 68, and it's of cancer.
Okay.
He tries to kill himself by running into a wall three times. The man is obviously has mental issues then, but they say that he had cancer. Whether he did or not, I don't know. There's no way to prove that he didn't, but he's the loose end, you see, that has to be, has to be taken care of.
And so, why do you suppose Jack Ruby wouldn't talk? In other words, this is an interesting thing that just a few years later, he's pretty young, he dies in prison. Where do you think he was in all this? I mean, he was obviously a very, very dirty, corrupt figure, but he goes to jail expecting to be there for a very, very long time, I guess.
When Dorothy Kilgallen died, I had an eyewitness, a, a doctor friend of Melvin Belli. They're talking about what happened, you know, talking about Dorothy and all of that. And Belli says to him, well, they've killed Dorothy now. Now they'll go after Jack Ruby. I think Jack Ruby knew that if he said anything at all, talked about this, they would have killed him, and maybe they did. Maybe he didn't die of cancer. I don't know. I mean, does anybody believe that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide today? No. So, you know, those guys, you can't mess around with them. I think I told you the last time that Nick Pelleggio gave me a wonderful endorsement for this book. He told me that, look at the mafia. Their middle name is revenge. You can't mess around with those guys.
So why do you suppose, this is a little off topic, but it's still fascinating, why do you suppose, other than pure hubris, that Joe Kennedy and his sons would dare to double-cross the mafia? What did RFK have against the mafia that he would do this, knowing that there could be, you know, the ultimate retaliation?
Well, with Joe Kennedy, I think he thought he was so powerful that his double cross wouldn't come back to him. But the McClellan hearings, Bobby Kennedy yelled and screamed at the mafia there. Sam Giancana, you're giggling like a little girl. You know, Bobby Kennedy was the run of the litter. He'd never been in a courtroom before being appointed attorney general. And now he wants to show his brother and his dad, I'm a big shot. And he goes after the mafia, and that's what ended up killing his brother.
Well, I guess my question is, do you believe that he went after the mafia completely of his own accord, or did he do it with the blessing, so to speak, of his president brother and his father?
I don't speculate, and so I can't tell what happened there. All I know is that I had an eyewitness at a breakfast where Joe Kennedy told JFK, you are going to appoint Bobby Kennedy attorney general. That's as far as I can go with that.
Yeah, that's in your book, and it's fascinating that he would do that. That he was such a it's kind of funny because this is in some ways it's the ultimate morality tale. The idea of this, you know, it's like King Lear or something. It's like this powerful, it's much more so this powerful figure with the three sons, and how his actions end up. You know, it's more out of Oedipus Rex or something like that, come back to haunt him in as classic a fashion as anything. The nightmare that you get your son elected president, he's murdered. Then your next son run for president, he is murdered. I mean, it's just it's a morality tale of all time. We'll be right back talking to Mark Shaw.
My heart says, Dr. Shane, Dr. Shane, oh darling,
if you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance
on me.
Take a chance.
If you need me, let me know.
Holy cow. Folks, you've been listening to my conversation with Mark Shaw. I got to tell you. Now, by the way, there's plenty more to come in hour two.
Yeah.
Also, let me warn you, coming up next, we have our Ask Metaxas. That's, you know, once a week, Thursday, hour two. We do the opening segment of hour two is Ask Metaxas. People pepper me with questions and I try to answer in my fumfering way. But after that, we continue the conversation with Mark Shaw. Plenty more to come with Mark Shaw. Okay. Tomorrow, hour one, at least this is the schedule. If we don't screw it up, in hour one tomorrow, we have a very important interview. I want to underscore this. It is with Mark Judge, who has written a book called The Devil's Triangle about what happened to him during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. It is unbelievable stuff. I've talked to John Zmierich about it on this program. It is unbelievable. I read the book. I gave him a hearty endorsement for the book. And tomorrow, hour one, you're going to hear the insane story. It's almost unbelievable. That's tomorrow. And Alvin, I don't want to forget two more things before we go to Ask Metaxas. Socrates in the City is coming up December 6th. We've got some special guests are going to be in the room. Jana Ellis, Liz Wheeler, Dick Morris, all kinds of people are coming to hear Oz Guinness. If you want to come, there's still tickets available. That's December 6th. That's next week. Hard to believe that it's already next week. Okay. Number two, we can officially start talking about Christmas today, officially, because it's December 1st. Number three, as a result of it being the month of December, you know that we do a campaign with Christian Solidarity International. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be all over you all this month to participate with us. It is an honor for you and me to be able to free slaves who are literally enslaved in the Southern Sudan. CSI can be discovered at MetaxasTalk.com. Please, please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on that banner, and give a Christmas gift. Now, this is a gift to those who are being freed from slavery, but you can also do this as a gift to someone in your family or to a friend, that I gave $100, I gave $50, I gave $250, which is the huge amount required, a small amount required to do the huge thing of freeing a slave. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com and you have to do it. And folks, I'm going to be all over you all month until you do this. I don't care what amount you give. Folks, the amount is not important, but you've got to participate, because the evil of what is happening in parts of the world is it's more than we can bear to comprehend. But when you find out there's something you can do about it, well, God actually expects us to do something when we know we can do something. So I'm just asking you to do whatever you feel like doing. So you got to go to MetaxasTalk.com. Final reminder before we go to our break and ask Metaxas and more of Mark Shaw. Final reminder that if you go to SalemNow.com, there's all kinds of stuff there. Border Battle is the streaming TV series at SalemNow.com. But I want to encourage you, there's all kinds of stuff there. So we're highlighting Border Battle. But you can watch the talk show that Albin and I filmed. There are four episodes. It is next level insanity. You really will not believe some of what you see. I play cornhole with Mike, the Situation from the Jersey Shore. You think I'm making that up? Go to SalemNow.com. Check it out. There's all kinds of, there's stuff you won't believe. You'll see a side of Albin that you'll never want to see again. It's horrifying.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I'm not kidding. There's stuff there. SalemNow.com, Border Battle, and the talk show starring Eric Metaxas, all kinds of stuff. We'll be back with Ask Metaxas and more in hour two. Don't go away.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.